Hey y'all. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 17, starting verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is a great passage. Remember that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross. And he's between Gentile and Samaritan territory. And of course, the Jews despise the Samaritans as a kind of religious and ethnic half-breed. And these 10 are healed. And this one Gentile comes back to give thanks when he realizes that he's been healed of leprosy. Now remember, leprosy kept you out of the community. It kept you from the life of worship. This whole scene should remind us of the healing of Naaman, the Syrian general that Elisha healed. Jesus heals in a similar way. In that scene, Elisha doesn't even come out and see him, but he just says, "Tell him to go wash in the Jordan." Jesus does something similar here. Before he even gets near them, he says, "Just go your way and show yourself to the priests, and you'll be made whole." And the shocking thing out of all of it is that the one Samaritan is the one to recognize what Jesus has done and come back and acknowledge it. And notice, too, what he does. He falls down on his face and he shouts aloud. This is so consistent with all the people in the Gospel of Luke who are touched by Jesus. They're totally unconcerned with social propriety. They're totally unconcerned with what people think. They are absolutely captured with gratitude for who Jesus is and what he's done. Think of the woman that washes Jesus' feet. Think of the blind man in Jericho. All of them are in the same position. And I would suggest that ultimately there's something humbling about gratitude. There's something humbling about true gratitude. There's something that is in the heart of true gratitude that is in the neighborhood of humility. It reminds me of a scene just a few verses later when Jesus tells the Pharisee and the tax collector. The one guy was thankful, but he was thankful to God that he wasn't like this guy over here. But the man who knew he deserved nothing from God, it says that the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." So there's something truly humbling in the kind of humility that the Bible celebrates, the kind of thanksgiving the Bible celebrates. It's a recognition that we deserve nothing from God, yet we have been richly, richly gifted by God, not only through just the normal gifts of life, the gift of life and shelter and food, but obviously the gift of Jesus and the forgiveness that he gives. So may we be a people who are truly humble and who are regularly full of thanksgiving. Paul said that this was the key to peace. He said, "Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep our hearts and minds." So may we be a people who resort to God in every turn, and who take everything in life and turn it into thanksgiving to him. In Jesus' name, amen.